Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And you know, you have no idea how grassroots, how much of a grassroots program this is. And so, not that I'm not ready for today, I just can't wait to start telling you all sorts of information. But I definitely have a message. And so what I'll also say is that there are many times when I have so much information to provide you, it has to string across many shows. And hopefully I won't be doing that today. So I have a lot to go through. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And as you know, you are listening to the only show that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. If you want to talk about any of this, the phone lines are open. I've made sure of that. And the number to call in is 215-867-8255. Excuse me. This particular show and every show is dedicated to supporting state legislators or those who are seeking that office who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. Therefore, a part of the show has to be dedicated to those county grassroots leaders, such as the Central Committee chairs and so forth, because they are integral in this process. They are the actual employers of their politicians because they are the party leadership to ensuring that they are vetting candidates for you and so forth. So this is also a show for them as well. That what this means, though, as I get these people to commit, this means that they're all protecting all of us from federal tyranny. And it is a team effort. So I will quickly move through the fact that one of the many reasons why you want to download the podcast is sometimes I do string the content and information across a couple of shows, because it is literally impossible to give you all the information regarding a single topic in some instances and cases. And I know I can be long-winded, but I try not to be. And so maybe that's why I try to talk fast and then, anyway, make mistakes. And I'm trying not to. I don't care to be a professional, long-term career radio show host. What I care to do is I care to lead this republic in taking back its constitution and saving our Republican form of government and our constitutional republic for our posterity. That is the only reason I'm doing this. And that is the core leadership principles that I have learned a long time ago. You have to stand up for what is right. That is why I'm here. And that is what I'm doing. Again, back to the reason why you'd want to download my podcast is because this is the only show on air that asserts this constitutional solution known as Republic Review that forces the federal government back into the Constitution. Second reason is that this content actually can string across shows and or interfaces or interplays and or provides information, relates to previous shows, what have you. So you really need to be familiar with all the different content that I put on here. And all this content on this show is not perishable or temporary. It will withstand the test of time. I do not try to get down into daytime events and what is just popular now. I try to put a constitutional context which makes that context withstand that test of time. So, of course, the downloads for the podcast are currently still at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I also have that video on the Take Action page on that exact same website, ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. So if you go there, please, this is the beginning phase of learning and understanding what the Constitution is, putting it into context. It's only 30 minutes, and it is also jam-packed with content. Most people have to watch it a few times, just to kind of read the slides behind there. And, oh, by the way, on that exact same page, the slides are available just above the link to this video. So right underneath those two slides of the presentations that I did in this video, you can actually go through them and read them while I'm talking. Just that way you just play the audio. You don't have to actually watch or listen to me because I am not that animated. I also wanted to point out that I can use help. I can use support. I am only one person, and there are all sorts of opportunities, especially if you live in these states: Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, or North Dakota, if you live in any of those states and you want to help save our Constitution and reclaiming our republic, contact me. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have a lot of resources. If you've got a computer, you got a little bit of time, and you're computer literate and so forth, or you even have a phone, you can help. And so I just want to keep that open out there. And by the way, I looked through the news. I did another quick scan. The federal government is still maintaining its unconstitutional powers. That means we have to keep working because they're not going to do it. I know Trump is doing good things. Let me be clear. I think Trump is doing more good things than Reagan because he's actually peeling back government. Reagan never did that. Reagan was a fiscal conservative, said all sorts of good things, but he was not a constitutional president. We really haven't had one technically since John Quincy Adams, technically. And so I will bow to you if you can give me a good instance where Reagan actually dismantled any unconstitutional government. But again, I've been the advocate to say it's not the president's job to necessarily do that. And that's why I do like what President Trump is doing. But everything he's doing can be undone by the next president. Therefore, that's why we have to get started in working and building upon what he's taking the heat, and he's taking the, creating the great distraction so that everybody can focus on the national level. Let's focus on the states and get the states to take back their right role in this process. I do have the standing question, what or where in the Constitution does the federal government get the authority to create and manage lands for reservations, regardless of creatures or race or plants or what have you? Where in the Constitution do they have this power to possess this? If you look at the map of federal lands on the U.S. map of federal lands, you will notice that the West Coast, or I should say all the states towards the West, are heavily occupied by federal government. And therefore, federal lands is a very hot issue. There are some on the east as well, but nothing like the West Coast. And one has to scratch their head. What happened? And the big thing, the epiphany will come to you, that those states joined the Union a lot later, and the federal tyranny was already getting started at that phase. And that's how far back the loss or the moral compass that our political leaders had strayed away from, because they have already started obfuscating the Constitution right out the gate. John Marshall underneath Jefferson and Madison's nose and making all of those rulings that as I've said before, the reason why Jefferson and Madison didn't put their foot down is because opinions are opinions and everybody has one. And Marshall's may have stunk just as bad as everyone else's, but his rulings were sound. He ruled in the right ways on almost everything. The fact that he did the Marbury v. Madison was a reach, but the ruling, and actually his ruling on that was really out there, making the assertion that a person has property rights to a job. Only in government, though. Anyway, that was definitely a far reach, and that was not a sound decision. But at that point in time, Madison and Jefferson had their hands full instead of going over to Congress like they should have done and said, reel in this court, because it's Congress's job to keep the court reeled in. They didn't do that, or maybe they did, and Congress was just basically at that point still apathetic and saying, well, what's the harm? You know, we're okay with what they're doing. Bottom line, we need to get into the details of whether the federal government has the authority to manage lands and whether that's in the Constitution or not. Because if it's not in the Constitution, then they don't have the authority. Again, Red Pill Expo, it is coming up. We're just a little over a month away. Make sure you look into this if you want to attend. Look at who's speaking. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you what they're showing on the website is just the tip of the iceberg. There's going to have a lot of other people there. And therefore, I think it is paramount that you really look at, you know, attending this and becoming a part of this. If you're looking to become a leader in the Red Pill movement and or a constitutional movement, this would be an awesome event to attend. I wanted to also go into one point of the news. I find it interesting that the DOJ is going after Cohen for offering access to the president should one hope that both Hillary and Bill, as well as Obama and his entourage, will be brought to justice for all of their pandering for money and access to the president? That's a rhetorical question. I also wanted to talk real quick about the facade of conservative claims, and that's going to be the meat of the topic today I want to get into. What is a conservative? But there is a facade of conservatives who are claiming to be constitutional. And so, again, that's something I really want to delve into, but I do feel I've got something coming up that is, you know, it's like hard and it comes with music. And yes, there it is. It is the heartbreak that is coming and approaching, and it is here now. I have to go into this break. I apologize, but we have to make this show accommodate airing for every other radio show so that they can put commercials in here. And so please stay tuned, and I will be right back after the break. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so before I get into those conservatives or the facade of conservatives who claim to be constitutional warriors, I want to get into next week's endorsements, because as it's looking, I have yet to get one candidate in South Dakota to actually make any type of commitment. As a matter of fact, it is very common in very progressive states and politicians in, you know, regular America, not rural America, where people will always shy away from signing pledges and being held down or committed because they know that that can politically hurt them, because they, you know, they don't want to be held accountable to something. They want to be able to be free and float around. And I want to put this into context. What I am asking, because the first thing they have to do to become a legitimate public servant, excuse me, is they have to raise their arm to the square and they have to take an oath that they are going to defend, obey, and support the Constitution of the United States. And so let me ask you this. Why is it that they can't take a pledge as well as an oath? Because they know that a pledge is not in front of a bunch of people, but we actually know that they take these pledges, but we never hold them accountable. And, or I should say, these oaths. And the fact that you've got a signature and you can actually start volleying evidence, we can do the exact same thing, my friends. They take this oath. We know they take an oath. We can hold them accountable to the oath just as well. But they know that if they can skirt the pledge, then they feel like they get a little extra wiggle room. But bottom line, they still have to take that oath. And as far as I'm concerned, it's very important that we understand what that means in defending, protecting, supporting, obeying, whatever your state puts into that oath. It has to, at least at a minimum, say that they support the Constitution. And what and how we define whether they support the Constitution, does that mean that they take money that is unconstitutional? Is that supporting the Constitution? Does that mean that they implement policies that are unconstitutional, or they allow federal policies to come into their states that are unconstitutional because they're getting money from some lobbyist? See, these are those who we have to deal with. And so there's a huge approbation, especially in the bluer states or the less red states, where politicians become really savvy in avoiding those things. I don't know what I'm dealing with in Dakota, because I have reached out to many of them in the social media, and I cannot get one of them to actually pick up the phone or watch my video, or at least, actually, I've had a couple watch my video, but that's it. I agree with you, and then they leave it at that, because they may be listening and they may know that GR wants them to sign a commitment and they don't care about my endorsement, at least not at this point. But I'm going to tell you that by 2020, my endorsement, or the endorsement from the organization that is driving Republic Review, which just may not be only GR, it may actually be a lot of organizations, and actually it may be your local GOP county chairs. Because guess what? I'm not only reaching out to these legislators, I'm reaching out to the county chairs, because that information is usually public. And you can call them up and say, hey, are you really happy with these guys? And guess what? I'm actually getting a lot of feedback that tells me, no, they're not really happy. And I'm asking, well, why don't you have people out there that are running and contesting against these that are willing to support the Constitution? So I think it's really important that we start exposing this. And actually, I've got a phone call. So let me answer this call. And so, yes, sir, or ma'am, I don't know who I'm talking to. This is GR. Well, how can I help you today?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am talking to you.
Okay, thank you. I'm a first-time caller. I just came across your show by chance, but I really appreciate the subject you're focused on, or your life work, it sounds like you're focused on.
Yes.
As far as the conservative definition of conservative, it's really kind of mundane to talk about in these days because, as I'm sure you know, at the start at America's founding, our founders were radicals, political radicals. They weren't conservative.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the British government and the Tories that supported them were the conservatives of their days. So,
yes, and, you're absolutely correct.
So I wanted to make that point about the conservatives. I consider conservatives, I have a saying that rhinos, conservatives, Republicans, or socialists, progressives, Democrats are different labels.
Yes.
But they flow from the same status label. They're all status. They believe in powerful federal government, which is anti to what America's founding was. And I believe, and I have since 2005, have believed that the republic is lost. Not that we're going there. I watched America going toward that point. I hear people today still say, and of course, what's going on more and more are saying it every day, that we're going there. But the evidence proves overwhelming to me, the spying, the lying, the total disregard for individual liberty in this country clearly shows to me that the republic has been lost.
Yeah, so let me ask you a quick question. Have you looked into my content on Republic Review and how Republic Review can save this republic?
Well, I'm looking at, like I said, I just came across your
show today, by chance. Just today?
Yeah, literally within when you came on it on the top of the hour.
Okay.
So I've got your website up. I'm looking at it. And
so,
it's 26 minutes past the hour. So
I've only got a couple minutes before I hit a hard break. But what I would ask is I would ask that you go through those bullets on that homepage of Reclaiming the Republic, but the MobiusStripPress.com page is my book page, literature, and that type of stuff. And I don't want to peddle books here. What I want to do is get the content to you. So if you read through that homepage.
Well, not to interrupt you, but I've been doing basically what you've been doing since 2005 all by myself. And the principles and everything, as a matter of fact, I have a three-section amendment, article of amendment, that I call Restoring States' Rights Amendment that covers the 3 points that I believe that the states have to reinforce to have any chance of what you're talking about, reclaiming the public, to happen at all.
Well,
So
actually, I've gone up against constitutional scholars that have gone through my arguments, and I've actually got podcasts with constitutional professors, and not one can tell me what I am doing is unconstitutional. And bottom line, it comes down to go ahead.
They can't because what you're promoting
yes.
is getting us back to where we started from before we started going all astray. So anyone that would argue against what you're doing, just like all the Congress people in Congress today that are doing all these unconstitutional acts, they're the ones that are enemies to the Constitution, not people like you who are trying to reinforce what America's founders
right.
really meant.
Right. Now, so I'm terrible with names. My audience really knows this, so I don't know if you stated your name or not, but it's completely blank to me. But I got 20 seconds left and before we hit this hard break. So if I leave it to you, if you want to stay on.
I champion under the name Samuel Patrick Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
I have a website, and I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to find my blog on Samuel Patrick and Jefferson.
Okay.
Weebly.com. My blog has the Restoring States' Rights article.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on. Call again when you have time to digest that stuff, okay? Thank you
I
much.
I will. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye now. Folks, we're at a hard break, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And I just want you to know, let that caller be a testament to you, because I'm not cruel. I believe in civility. And more importantly, I think it's really important that we know that we're not alone. And I know that a lot of times when it's a monologue type of show like this, so a lot of people don't realize how many other people are listening. And this radio station actually has quite a breadth of different distributions. And so I didn't get a chance to ask the caller, how was he listening? Was he listening via the internet or via broadcast or via some other type of streaming device like Echo or what have you? But anyway, and actually, I did not ask that gentleman to call because he was just basically a perfect segue into what I'm going to get into regarding this facade of what we call conservatives and how many politicians try to create these labels as being constitutional conservatives and so forth. But I wanted to get into real quick this barrier that I've reached in South Dakota. And so I'm hoping that I will actually have a better results with, as I reach out to the county chairs, because the next level up to me is actually going down, and that's going down to the county chairs and getting them to become far more active in controlling their brand, because that's where the brand has to be controlled at. And as we start setting the standards of controlling the brand, ensuring that the Constitution is that standard, then we're going to make some really big changes politically. I will also tell you that I'm hoping that I can at least get one, but I just want you to know, do not be disappointed. I'm actually, there's a long shot. I might get a candidate in Oklahoma in committing to the Constitution and signing a pledge. And if so, I'm going to be begging you to help this gentleman or lady or whomever. I don't want to disclose anything, but I'm hoping that I can get somebody in Oklahoma as well. And I know that's an outlier, but it's a very conservative state as well. As you notice that they're really trying to be a leader in conservatism, whatever that means. And so before I get into the dialogue of conservatism, I always want to repeat this. If we are not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainly and certainty in losing these battles, because the left will drag us through the definitions of, or I should say, through the court systems, which will create their own definitions, and their own agendas will be enforced, because that's what the court is. It is the enforcement branch of the political agenda, as well as the religious dogma of secularism. And that's why the courts have been constantly ruling for over a century on cases that are driving secularism down our throats. They are the enforcement branch and basically telling you, get back. You have no right to believe and practice the way you are. Anyway, what do you call a person who speaks of their strong conservative values yet refuses to engage in an open conversation on the Constitution? Well, I guess before we get into that, I guess I need to define what conservative values are. And so if you go by definition of the root of the word conserve, the definition of that means to protect. To protect something, especially an environmental or culturally important thing, place, from harm or destruction. By definition, the word conservative, that means that holding a traditional attitude and or value and cautious about change or innovation, typically in relation to politics or religion. And so that's the Merriam-Webster definition, or the primary definition for the word conservative. And so it makes me even think more. So what are traditional, and what do we consider that? Based on this definition, I still don't know what a conservative stands for, especially when we're looking at traditional. How do we define traditional? Because I don't think, just like that gentleman was saying, most people don't realize how the framers really were and what their traditions were. What are traditional attitudes and values? And what are these conservatives clinging to? Because innate within that word is to preserve that. And so the degrees of traditional values over the years have definitely evolved and or devolved. And conversely, what changes or innovations are supposedly conservatives afraid of as the progressives try to label them? And so that in lies the big rub and the big, you know, the big problem that we have to face. And as I've said before, I do not like labels such as conservatives and those types of things. I think that we need to be cut to the chase and say, this is about the Constitution, especially when it comes to politics. It has to be about the Constitution. Why is it that we require our public servants to take an oath? Because it has to be about the Constitution. They're supposed to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Even more importantly, I do not like the fact that the word liberal has been hijacked and taken hostage by the secular progressives with the intent to pervert its meaning, to basically mean the opposite of what it truly meant. Because truly, a liberal was someone that supported individual liberty and individual sovereignty. But liberals today are big, huge promoters of centralized government and government control, that we want the nanny state. We have to protect ourselves from you. And we can't afford or allow these types of things to permeate through our society and so forth. And therefore, I would just submit to you that if you look at Jefferson and Madison, those were classic liberals of their day. And they were, in some respects, as the gentleman was saying, they were radical against the British ideologies of monarchy and so forth. And the system that they actually created truly was a system that was, out there. I mean, it had nothing to do, and it's similar to nothing. When you look at Britain and all the other republics that were created, sovereignty remained with the ruler. The king, parliament, the senate, the Caesar, whoever was at the top of the food chain, that's where sovereignty was. And in our system, they maintained a system that recognized not only sovereignty at the lowest level possible, they distributed it at that lowest level to the people and the sub-element of government. That was the whole intent of Roger Sherman's compromise, or the Connecticut Compromise. And so do not be fooled by the simplistic reference to liberal thought. Jefferson and Madison and the framers were enlightened men. It wasn't just liberal thought. They were enlightened men and knew that for America to enjoy liberty, or more aptly, individual liberty and individual sovereignty, they had to instill safeguards into society. And a big player in that was the churches. These safeguards were not unbridled liberty where anyone could do whatever they wanted. They believed in having fundamental restraints on behavior as well as guards against the enemies of liberty. You do believe, and you have to understand, the reason why the Tory Act of 1776 was passed. I mean, if they really wanted to have a champion of alternate ideologies, then why was it that they, after the war, they deported and enforced the Tory Act on British loyalists and sent them packing? Many loyalists went on their own, but I want you to put this into context. Those people who were shipped out lost everything. If they couldn't carry it, it was gone. They lost their property, they lost their structures, everything that was left behind was taken. And I'll even go as far as this, that if you understand the treaties between Britain and America after the Revolutionary War, it was a very hot contested issue of who was getting access to that property, because Britain was pressing to get that property back and or the wealth and or the value of that property back to those loyalists who came back because they were complaining to the crown. And so that was a no compromise issue. Those people didn't deserve their property or any of their things or household effects or anything. Their horses, none of that. They lost it all, and it was a non-compromised issue. And therefore, because of that, the Britain's Navy was impressing American sailors, whether they were commerce sailors or what have you, because we really didn't have much of a Navy at the time. So keeping that all into context, I also want you to keep in mind that if you consider the bans that the early day Constitutional Republic had on religions like the Jewish faith, Buddhism, and especially the Islamic faith, you will start to see that it wasn't really a free-willy, you know, open, free religion and all of that, as I've talked about before. As you can tell, I'm in a heartbreak, and I do have more time, and I've got more content for you, so please stay tuned, and I'm going to get into more of the defining of conservatism and what our framers were really like, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. I'm working with key leaders and patriots and setting up rodeos for Republic Review in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. We're trying to promote engagement between you and your public servants so that you can start demanding their fulfillment of their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. If you're beginning to understand what Republic Review can do and how it works, then America needs your help. More importantly, if you live in one of these states or know any patriots or patriotic leaders like an elected official, a grassroots leader, or someone who is politically active, then please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We know that if we can get a strong attendance by both the candidates and the electorate, we will make an impact. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this audit process started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And I want to clarify something. And as a matter of fact, it's really, really important that I clarify this for you. When I said that the Constitutional Republic had bans on religion like the Jewish faith, Buddhism, and especially the Islamic faith, I wasn't saying that the United States had bans on those. The states actually had the control over who was coming into those states. And each of those states, because it wasn't the job of the federal government to dictate religions and those types of standards, they weren't supposed to create any laws or establish any church, even though they're violating the Establishment Clause. What was going on was the states had actual bans on these religions. As a matter of fact, Massachusetts maintained a ban on the Jewish faith until the 1830s. And the reason I know that is because in John Adams's career, after he was president, and in the, it wasn't the first, but I think it was the second time they reviewed the Massachusetts Constitution after the ratification of the Constitution, which was, I want to say it was 1801. John Adams was a delegate, and he pleaded to the Massachusetts delegates at that convention requesting that they allow the Jews to practice their faith openly. And so they actually refused or rejected that concept. They did not want the Jews to be able to walk freely, or I should say, build synagogues and a proselyte and so forth. So they were banning the Jewish faith. I'll even tell you that they did not allow Buddhists and Islamics to even immigrate to come here from the regions that they were coming. And so the question is, when even if Trump banned all Muslims or Islamic faith people from coming to the United States, that would be in line with what the original states had done. However, the problem is that it is the state's duty and responsibility to set those standards, not the federal government. And as people say, well, the Constitution, as far as freedom of religion, that applies to the states as well. No, it does not. The 14th Amendment doesn't even go there. The 14th Amendment only protects individual privileges and immunities of individual expressions and so forth. The states have the absolute power of being able to establish a state religion. They can also ban religions as well, because the 14th Amendment did not take away the state's privilege of overall controls of religion and those things. They just can't dictate how you express your religion or how you express speech and those privileges that the individual enjoys. But organizational things, they absolutely have control over: businesses, religions, openly practicing those, that type of such, or in that manner. Anyway, let me move on. Keep also in mind that the American orphanages at the time were very, very small. They were very limited because there weren't a lot of unwanted babies. They didn't have that problem in contrast to Europe. And as a matter of fact, if you read John Adams' biography that was done by, I think it was David McCullough, John Adams, in one of his letters to Abigail Adams, was absolutely distressed over the sheer number of children that were just in one orphanage alone in Paris. And he asserted that there were more children in that one orphanage than in all of the United States orphanages. In other words, the only reason that children were being orphaned in America was not to the same reasons that France and Europe was just abandoning their religious faith, because at that point, secularism was really becoming more and more rampant, and the French Revolution actually proved that. And as one looks at France today, I don't believe there's a lot of churches that remain being, you know, in service or what have you. There just seems like Europe has completely turned its back on its religious heritage and its traditional core values that created those institutions, or I should say that nation, each individual nation. And so you see that there was a symbiotic relationship in the early days of this republic between the state governments and religion. And the framers were well aware of this. The religions administered education. Madison went to a religious college up in New Jersey called Princeton. And I believe Jefferson and a lot of them went to other schools. Harvard was even a religious school. Religions administered not just education, but compassionate services such as healthcare, welfare, and even employment services, or assisting people in getting employed, as well as whatever their needs were, taking care of widows and orphans and so forth. And as I said, that the concept of having this symbiotic relationship between religion and states was well embraced for a long time. The last state out of the original 13 states that had a state-sponsored religion went to all the way to 1877, and that was Delaware. I believe it was Delaware, either that or New Hampshire. One of those two was first or the last. Anyway, and I saw South Carolina was in the 1860s as well, I believe. The bottom line is that the concept that these folks had in their enlightenment was what I would call, in a word, discipline. They believed in discipline and allowing religion to provide that discipline or constrain behavior. And so due to the circumstances of the time, child mortality was what it was. And I'm giving you another snapshot of how different the times were, because child mortality was so high and it was so common that they lost children that a lot of it was just an open practice in almost all the states that they didn't even name the child until after the child was 2 years of age. That a lot of times, and I believe the Adamses referred to their babies until they got to that, you know, age that they would survive beyond that infantile mortality, they would call the child the visitor or the guest. And so the paradigms we have today are completely different because, I mean, child mortality is far more stable. I mean, it's very uncommon that children just die after they're born, like they used to back then, from all sorts of things that medically they didn't understand what they were doing. Another thing to keep in perspective is that the actual life expectancy in New England was 70 years of age. That was the average life expectancy in New England. And that was well above the rest of the world, practically. And that was just because of the type of living, the quality of life, and so forth that was being offered in the states at that time. And it was the highest life expectancy in all the states, by the way. I mean, it was a shining beacon of what they were doing in New England at the time for the rest of the world. Because, again, 70 years old back then, I remember in the 50s and the 60s, it was barely in the 70s then. So we digressed somewhat. And the reason that they were doing so well in some things and not well in other things was really because of their enlightenment, because they were setting the stage. This was also a time where honor, integrity, and the family name meant more to a man than life itself. I believe Hamilton was killed over a duel over his integrity, his honor, and his name. And so I don't know what's happened to our gene pool and what has happened to the core principles of Americans, but I'll tell you, as I've said before, and excuse the expression, somebody's been pissing on our gene pool because we have really watered down and have lost our integrity, lost our honor, and our association to being proud to have that family name. The freedom of the press back then as well was not what you would consider today. Even though I've told you before that there had been censorships, if you want to call it that, I would actually say that they were using restraint in ensuring that they had some appropriate journalistic value to what they were trying to print. As I've said, and the reason I mentioned this before, is during the ratification debates, many of the papers refused to print the articles of the Anti-Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers were always printed because, for some reason, most all the papers were in favor of creating a centralized government. because that was the common mind model. Again, as that caller mentioned, that it was not common for thinking as rebellious as Jefferson, Madison, and the framers. Those guys were very forward-thinking, and the Whigs and the Tories and so forth were far more traditionals, far more conservative, trying to cling to the older forms of government and so forth. And so I can tell you that I'm out of time. I am G.R. Mobley, and this is Reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, and please share this show with other people, share our content, get them to be a part of this, and we will grow and we will reclaim the Republic again with your help, because it all stems with you. Thank you so much. I'll be back tomorrow.